today's world, trying to figure out health information can feel incredibly overwhelming. You get a sniffle, maybe a cough, feel tired, and your mind starts racing. Is it just a cold? Flu? Or is it COVID? Do I need to see a doctor about these symptoms right now? Or can I handle this at home? That confusion, it's really common. So our mission here in this deep dive is to cut through that noise. We've gone through reliable, up-to-date sources to give you a clear roadmap. Think of it like your shortcut to feeling confident about understanding your symptoms, knowing when urgent care is the right call, spotting those critical red flags for the ER, and making good health decisions.
That's exactly right. We're going to try and map this out. First, we'll look at mild symptoms, the ones you can usually manage at home, versus the ones that signal something more serious. Then we'll get into urgent care. When is that the best choice? Especially for those moderate symptoms. We'll touch on telehealth too, it's so convenient. And crucially, we'll pinpoint those absolute red flags, the signs that mean emergency care where, you know, every second counts.
Okay, let's start right there with understanding the symptoms. COVID symptoms, they've always been tricky, haven't they? They can look so much like a cold or allergies or the flu. It makes it really hard to tell what's what, especially when you're already feeling rough. How do you even start to figure out the difference or the severity?
Yeah, it's interesting. Diagnosing the severity just based on symptoms, that can be quite difficult. There was a 2022 paper from the Cochrane Database of Systematic Reviews that really highlighted this. It emphasized that COVID usually causes a combination of symptoms. It means looking beyond a checklist, really listening to your body. Doctors also factor in things like exposure history, recent travel. It's about putting the pieces together.
That makes a lot of sense. The whole picture, not just one piece. So could you walk us through some of those common symptoms we might see?
Okay, let's start with fever or chills. Medically, a fever is usually defined as over 100.4 Fahrenheit. That's 38 Celsius. And it often comes with chills or maybe night sweats, feeling flushed. Sometimes low grade kind of comes and goes. Other times it can spike higher. Then there's the persistent dry cough. That often shows up early and can stick around for days, even weeks sometimes. And fatigue, fatigue is a big one, very common, often lingers. People describe it as just extreme tiredness, you know. Rest doesn't seem to help much, even with mild cases. And it can include that mental fog, too.
The brain fog. And what about just feeling achy all over?
Muscle or body aches often go hand in hand with the fever and fatigue. They usually get better as the fever comes down. But here's the one that often makes people go, aha, the sudden new loss of taste or smell. That's pretty unique to COVID. And sometimes it's the only symptom someone has. Some people get it back quickly, but for others, it can unfortunately last a lot longer.
And what about the symptoms that are easily mistaken for other things, like a sore throat?
A sore throat by itself could be anything, a cold. But if it comes with a fever, cough, or body aches, then it's more likely part of the COVID picture. Same with congestion or a runny nose. Super common, looks like allergies sometimes. But again, if it's paired with fever or fatigue, think COVID. I've definitely had patients, sure, it was just allergies, but then you add in the fatigue. And it starts to make more sense.
And it affects the stomach too, right?
Nausea or vomiting, they're less common, but they do happen, especially in kids and younger adults. Sometimes those GI symptoms actually come before the respiratory ones. So if you start with stomach issues, then get a fever or cough, getting tested is a good idea. Now, tying this back to severity, for most people who are generally healthy, mild COVID symptoms can usually be managed at home. We're talking a low-grade fever, maybe 99 to 100.4, that doesn't hang around too long. A mild cough, one that isn't painful or making it hard to breathe. Maybe a scratchy throat, but no serious swelling. Minor stuffiness, like a cold. And just feeling generally tired, low energy. That's typical mild stuff.
Okay, so for those mild cases, what's the best approach at home? What should people be doing first?
It really comes down to supportive care. Rest is huge. Seriously, listen to your body. Get that sleep. Hydration. Keep drinking fluids. Over-the-counter meds like acetaminophen, Tylenol, or ibuprofen can help with fever and aches. Cough drops or suppressants, decongestants. Those can provide some relief too. Now, vitamins like C, D, zinc, they can support your immune system, sure, but let's be clear, they don't cure COVID or make it go away faster. And please stick to the recommended doses. Taking massive amounts isn't helpful and can actually cause problems, but here's the really crucial part. Even if your symptoms seem mild, you have to monitor for changes. If new things pop up, like difficulty breathing, chest pain, sudden confusion, or a fever that just won't quit or keeps getting higher, you need medical care right away. Older folks, or anyone with underlying health conditions, they should probably check in with a doctor, even for mild symptoms, just because their risk is higher.
Okay, let's shift gears a bit then. What if the symptoms aren't an obvious emergency, but home care doesn't feel like enough? When does urgent care become the smart move for COVID? This is where I think a lot of people get stuck wondering, should I see a doctor about my COVID symptoms right now? Or is it not serious enough? They don't want to go straight to the ER unnecessarily.
Urgent care really fills that important middle ground. It's perfect for those moderate COVID symptoms. Maybe you need a test or you want a doctor to assess you, get treatment advice, especially if getting a quick appointment with your regular doctor is tough. It's convenient for specific testing needs. If you need documentation for work or travel, it bridges that gap between self-care and a full-blown emergency.
Can you give us some specific examples? When is urgent care the right call, and what can they actually do for you there?
Okay, first, moderate symptoms needing quick support. You've got the fever, the cough, fatigue, and you want to get tested or just talk to a provider, like today. Second, you have symptoms and just need that test. Urgent care usually has both kinds, PCR, which is more accurate but slower.
Takes a day or two.
And the rapid antigen test, where you get results in 15, 30 minutes. Quick swab, and they can help you figure out which test makes sense.
And if you need a test for travel, work, or school, urgent care is super convenient. Even though a lot of rules change by 2025, some exceptions still pop up, and they can handle the tests and paperwork quickly. Another key situation is getting evaluated for antiviral treatment. Urgent care doctors can assess if you're eligible for meds like Paxlovid. These work best if you start them within 5 days of getting sick, especially if you're high risk. So getting seen quickly is vital for that.
And what if you started out mild, but things just aren't improving? Maybe even getting a bit worse. Perfect example for urgent care. If your mild symptoms are dragging on or worsening after a few days, they can check you out, see what's going on, and decide if anything needs to change. And finally, if you know you've had a known exposure to COVID, even if you feel okay, urgent care is an easy place to get tested, just for peace of mind, or to make informed choices about protecting others.
What can they do for someone looking to see a doctor about COVID symptoms right then and there?
They provide symptom management advice, recommending over-the-counter stuff, sometimes prescribing other meds, giving you plans for rest and hydration. They do the COVID diagnostic tests, both rapid and PCR. If you test positive and you fit the criteria, they can prescribe antivirals like Paxlovid. They're good at monitoring for complications or worsening symptoms. They'll check your oxygen levels, listen to your lungs, check your heart rate, basically, assess if you might need ER-level care. A lot of clinics offer vaccinations to call first to check if they have them. And they can test for other things, too, flu, strep, RSV, which is helpful since symptoms overlap. Plus, the practical stuff, they can give you a doctor's note for work or school if needed.
Gotcha. Now, the practical questions people have. Is it okay to just walk into an urgent care with COVID? Or should you stay away?
No, absolutely, you can go. Most urgent care clinics are totally set up for it. It's always a good idea to call ahead or let the front desk know when you arrive. That way they can take precautions, maybe have you wait outside or use a separate entrance to minimize spread.
Makes sense.
And about costs, are tests still free? It really varies now. Depends on your insurance. Some plans might still cover it, but many don't. If you're uninsured, expect an out-of-pocket cost. Best bet is to call the clinic beforehand and ask about their pricing for tests.
Okay, so shifting back to managing things from home, especially early on, this is where telehealth has really become such a useful tool, isn't it?
Yeah.
A way to see a doctor about COVID symptoms right now, but remotely.
Oh, absolutely. Telehealth is fantastic for mild to moderate symptoms. You can talk to a doctor, get assessed, maybe get that antiviral prescription if you qualify, figure out if you need to go in somewhere.
Right.
All without leaving home and potentially spreading the virus. It's great for reducing exposure, but, and this is really important, it is not for emergencies. If you're having trouble breathing, serious chest pain, confusion that's ER time, or call 911, not telehealth.
That distinction is critical. So specifically, how can telehealth help during COVID recovery?
Well, first, symptom assessment. The provider can evaluate how bad your symptoms are, see how they're progressing. They can give testing guidance. Importantly, for treatment plans, they can prescribe antivirals like Paxlovid if you're eligible, which is huge. Telehealth allows for monitoring. Regular check-ins can be really helpful, especially for higher risk who might need closer watching as they recover.
If someone's planning a virtual visit, what are some tips to make it go smoothly, get the most out of it?
Yeah, a little prep helps a lot. First, make sure your phone or computer is charged. Find a quiet spot with good lighting and decent internet. Jot down your symptoms beforehand, when they started, how bad they are, getting better or worse. Helps the doctor see trends. Mention any recent COVID tests or shots, and have your questions ready, things about isolation, Paxlovid eligibility, maybe red flags that mean you should go to urgent care or the ER. Oh, and have your photo ID handy. Sometimes they need to verify who you are.
Okay, but now let's talk about when things get really serious. What are those absolute unmistakable signs that mean you need immediate medical help? Where waiting is not an option, and you need to see a doctor about your COVID symptoms right now, like in an emergency room.
Yes, this is the part everyone really needs to know. Certain COVID symptoms are flat-out medical emergencies. Getting to an ER quickly can literally save a life. If you or someone you're with shows these signs, go straight to the ER or call 911 immediately. Don't wait to see if it gets better. Delaying can lead to really serious problems. Just act.
Okay, let's list them clearly. Emergency signs needing immediate attention. First, shortness of breath when you're just resting, or breathing that's severely difficult or getting worse fast, especially if it's hard to even speak. That's a major warning sign for low oxygen. Second, persistent chest pain or pressure. Not just a quick twinge, but a feeling that's tight, heavy, painful, and it just doesn't let up. Could be lungs, could be heart, serious either way.
Absolutely critical points. Third, sudden confusion, disorientation, or real trouble staying awake, or you can't wake them up. Like they're not making sense, don't recognize people, maybe nodding off mid-sentence. This can signal dangerously low oxygen hitting the brain or severe infection. And fourth, bluish, pale, or gray-looking skin, lips, or nail beds. If someone's face or lips look bluish, that's a clear sign of severely low oxygen in the blood. That's an emergency, especially if combined with other symptoms.
And thinking about the bigger picture, you mentioned earlier that for high-risk individuals, even symptoms that seem only moderately worse might actually warrant emergency care. Who exactly is in those high-risk categories?
These are the groups who need to be extra cautious and potentially seek help sooner. Older adults, particularly 65 and up, age is the biggest risk factor for severe COVID. CDC figures from 2022, they show folks 65 plus make up the vast majority of hospitalizations, over 80%, and have a much higher risk of death compared to younger adults. Also, people with underlying medical conditions, cancer, chronic kidney, liver, or lung disease, including moderate to severe asthma, cystic fibrosis, both type 1 and 2 diabetes, heart conditions, blood disorders like sickle cell.
So those pre-existing conditions really change the calculation. What other factors put someone at high risk?
Obesity is another major one. A 2020 paper found obese individuals were about twice as likely to end up hospitalized or in the ICU, smokers too. That same paper showed smokers were nearly twice as likely to get severely ill, largely because their lungs are already compromised. And of course, immunocompromised individuals. Their immune systems are weakened, making it harder to fight the virus. This includes people getting cancer treatment, those on immunosuppressant drugs, people with advanced HIV, or organ transplant recipients. Lastly, pregnant people. While they seem to catch COVID at similar rates, pregnancy itself increases the risk of developing severe illness, and that risk persists for about a month after giving birth, according to the Mayo Clinic. Now, just a quick but important update on isolation. The guidance has changed quite a bit since the early pandemic. Dr. Ashley Kelly points out that the current CDC advice, the respiratory virus guidance, recommends staying home until two things are true. At least 24 hours have passed since your symptoms started improving overall, and you haven't had a fever during that time without using fever-reducing meds.
And that updated guidance applies to all respiratory illnesses now, not just COVID, which is interesting in itself. It really shows a shift, doesn't it? Moving from trying to contain this one specific virus to managing it more like other common respiratory illnesses, it reinforces that basic public health message: stay home when you're sick to get better and avoid spreading anything. And if you absolutely have to go out while feeling under the weather, wearing a mask is still a really sensible way to protect others. It shows how we're learning and adapting. So wrapping up our deep dive, the core message is really about understanding these differences: mild symptoms at home, moderate ones needing urgent care or telehealth, and those critical emergency signs gives you the power to make informed, confident health decisions. It's about having that clear roadmap when things feel uncertain.
Exactly. And that leads me to a final thought for you, the listener, to mull over. Managing COVID more like other respiratory illnesses. What does that tell you about how our understanding of public health is evolving? And how might that change how you approach health challenges or the information you look for in the future? Something to think about.